Hello and welcome to Tonebenders, where we talk with the sonic artists behind our favorite films, games, and series. My name is Tim Muirhead and I will be your host today while we are talking about an amazing new film called Songs of Earth. It's a documentary that is Norway's entry into the International Film Oscar competition. It follows director Margreth Olsen's 83-year-old father as he hikes the nature of Norway and captures some of the most beautiful images I have ever seen. The film is also very much a love story on many different levels, between a child and a father, between a husband and a wife, between man and nature, and man and the planet as a whole. As the film's title suggests, Songs of Earth, the sound is a very important part of the film. And the person behind that sound was Tormod Rygnes. Hello, how are you today?
Hi, how are you?
Awesome. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to Tonebenders.
Thanks for having me.
As I just said, this film is very heavily dependent on sound. There are long passages with no dialogue. When you first came on board, what were your first thoughts when you were thinking of how you're going to tackle this?
Yeah, the thing about this film, it's like it started like half a year before they start shooting. So Margreth came to me, the director, and she told me that she had this great idea about filming her father for a year, walking in the mountain with. And the idea came actually from her childhood. And she went to the glacier and the mountain with her father when she was a child. And she told me the story. She went up to the glacier and they were sitting in the front of there. And the wind was passing through the cracks or the crevasses, you know, and made this tonal sound. So she asked her father, "Is there anyone playing down there in the glacier?" And the father replied, "Do you hear them also?" So it's like the whole childhood of Margreth is being like walking in the mountain with her father, listen to sounds, listen to the waterfalls. And you can actually listen to how the weather will be, just listen to the sound. So it's so many things that like inspired her to make this film. So this was like she wanted to do, we didn't make it into something, but she wanted to do a symphonic out of all the sounds in the nature. That was her idea. So we started and that was, okay, let's sit down and do a big, like a large collaboration with the DOP and all the people involved and the composer as well. So that was the, then we started. So that was fun. And through the whole process, we recorded. Of course, we had Andreas, there was the set recorder that went up. We had this nice discussion before they was going out shooting the film. And, but we got that recording back. It was amazing. Of course, when you record nature, especially when there are waterfalls and things happening, it gets really noisy and it almost can feels like pink noise. So I have to go back and do really take the sound that I kind of heard and went back and do specific details, record all these details, and then kind of build it up again. But there are so many things we did, so it was fun. That was how it started.
So one thing that's kind of a recurring sound is our main character's footsteps, sometimes in snow, sometimes on dirt. And rhythms are made from those that are then intercut with nature sounds. Sometimes it's water dripping and such. Did that come out of the edit or was that part of the plan originally? How did those kind of rhythms come about?
I think we had this idea before we started editing and we had a great collaboration with the editor, Misha. And we did, the whole thing was to find the pulse or the rhythm, the pulse of the nature, the tone and kind of the heartbeat, everything. So that was the idea, to find all those places. And we had that in mind when we went out recording as well. So there was actually a place where we lowered kind of a microphone, like 100 feet down in the between the crevasses or the cracks in the, you know, with the glacier. And suddenly we were told, okay, we're going to lower it. We're going to hear some wind or something. But we suddenly heard kind of a pulse, a rhythm. Probably was water, but this didn't sound like water. It has a constant same pace, tick, tick, tick. And out of that, we try to find all those things. And of course, he walks like he walks. He walks in that rhythm, so that was easy. So the whole process was, the editor did a sequence, he sent it to me, I started to put all those sounds with that in mind, and I sent it back to him, he adjusted it, and we had, and I made some collages of what I have recorded. I sent it to him, he kind of, so The whole process was like that. And the fun thing was, after we recorded all those sounds that we found, because Margaret wanted to make symphonic things out of, like, some music out of it. So what we did, like, after collecting all those sounds, kind of cut them and treat them and process them, we sent it to the composer, Rebecca Karjord, a great composer. And she actually hired some quartet or orchestra, small orchestra, and they just listened to what the all the sounds that we sent to her, and they start to improvise on what they're hearing. So they started to make music out of what I'm hearing, and that kind of inspired Rebecca again in what she wrote later. And you can hear all the kind of music comes out of the nature sound. Yeah.
Well, it's a beautiful orchestration. It's everything about the way the film sounds is beautiful. And I feel like there was a pressure to make it sound beautiful because the images are stunning.
Yeah.
some of the images are so amazing. You're not, when you first see some of the images, you're not sure if you're looking down, if you're looking up, you're not sure what you're looking at. And then as the camera moves and stuff, it becomes clearer what you're seeing. But the sound often leads us to reveal what we're seeing. There's one scene that when you first see it, it's just this kind of turquoise with blurs in it. And eventually you realize that it's a lake with clouds in between you and the lake. But what lets you know that first is you suddenly start hearing the streams going into the lake before you can really see them. And then that sound tells your eyes what you're looking at. It's a really weird sensation.
Yeah. No, it's like the whole idea was not do what you actually see. Of course, you will lean into it. But it was like how father, and of course the memory of the director, how he hears the sound, like the subjective feeling. And he is exploring. So it's more like try to find, because when you're listening, you can actually choose what to listen to and you can decide. And that was the idea to, he's in sense or like meditation or like when he feels, when he talk about silence, it's lots of sounds that make silence. And so we kind of did all those things to be in his subjective.
That's awesome. So let's talk about one particular sequence. There's a sequence where we kind of see a small waterfall to begin with, and then it morphs into a bigger waterfall and a bigger waterfall, and then we're in the rapids kind of at the bottom, and it's kind of showing how the runoff from the glacier evolves. But there's probably 6, 7, 8 different waterfalls in a row, and we all know as sound practitioners that the sound of a waterfall can just be white noise.
Yeah.
So coming up with making each stage of the water going down sound different and unique must have been a journey unto itself. How did you tackle that?
Definitely. You really need to find a variation. You need to find variation in every sounds as well, like in every scene, every picture. And a beautiful picture. Is that beautiful? And it's widescreen, so you can actually play with sound in all channels and make it wide. But it's so important that you do variation, and you need to start at some point to get, because it's growing and getting more rapid. So that's so important that you do these things. There's a story about when, like, early generation, they can listen to the waterfall when the weather is changing, because then it's bangs like a big congas or a big grand casa into the wall. So that was the idea, that it was there. Each scene has their own pulse. It's like make it into dance. And often when we do sound, we do it as music, or we do the variation. And that was also thing what we did when we started editing this film, was to just sit down and listen to lots of classic big orchestra, how it was orchestrated, or like how it was built up. And so that was some of the ideas. And you should start from really, really small details, sound, to go quite big. If you start too big, too noisy in the beginning, you have nowhere to go.
Well, it's an impressive sequence because, as you say, it starts really small. And by the end, it's overpowering. It's really, really cool sequence. And it's cool the way the first couple of little waterfalls, streams type things that we see, you hear more bubbling type details, like little splashies. And then by the end, it's just all massive. And it's funny that you say that you were kind of taking it from an orchestra, because when the water's crashing into the rocks, in my mind, I was thinking of like when the orchestra gets big and the percussionist with the huge cymbals smashing them together over and over again. That's kind of what I was getting out of it. So that's interesting. Your idea definitely came across, because that's what popped into my head.
Oh, thank you.
That's cool.
And it's like the tricky part when it's a sequence later also when you have this avalanche or especially when you do documentary, you want to, of course, you want to, and I've done so many variations of project, but you need to be inside some rules, you know. You don't have to go to sound design is too effective. And we had this we call it dogma, or the rules that we all the sounds that we are using should be being recorded around that area. Of course, we have done Foley and small tricks, but most of the sounds are recorded from the area around that it was shot. So it's fun to try to do all those things, to be detailed, to be, of course, use emotion and storytelling, but at the same time have that limitation.
So when using the sounds from that area, you mentioned that there was a location recordist when they were shooting. Did you have a team go back later without them?
Yeah, I always listen to what you have been recording, and I said, great, but could you go and do this and this? Yeah, I went up and he did some wild recording. Mostly kind of just followed. And because we had this great discussion before we start shooting, he actually got a really good space for doing all this recording, because it was so important for the whole story. And we didn't want to use sound effect library, or we just wanted to. And we spent lots of time to listen to what's been recording, to try to find small elements that kind of have its own voice or specific.
Yeah, it definitely has the vibe that it was recorded in that area. It doesn't feel like anything's from a library. It sounds really unique and inspiring in that way, that it's all such a cool sounding soundtrack. I have a weird connection to this area of the world. When I was maybe 22 or something like that, in 2001, I went to Norway and spent a couple weeks, and I took the train from Oslo to Bergen, but I got off in a town called Flåm.
Wow.
Which I looked on a map, is it's only about a 2-hour drive from the town where this film takes place.
Yeah.
So I spent 4 or 5 days there, and I was camping at the bottom of this humongous cliff. And I experienced, there's many scenes in this film where the clouds are really low, and actually the camera goes above the clouds in a few shots. And that was happening to me all the time when I was there, these low clouds that you couldn't even see the top of the cliffs that I was camping at the bottom of. So while I was watching this film, I was also having that second level of my own memories, which was an extra cool level. But
yeah,
I'm assuming that you don't live anywhere near where this was shot, right?
No. I'm living in Oslo, but I'm always, I like to hike. I like to go, especially go skiing, and I like to be out there. But I'm more a city guy. I love living in Oslo. And of course, we in Norway are kind of spoiled with that nature. So when we are showing this film in Norway, maybe it's too, what do you call it, patriotic or too, it's like we are. But the people really love the story and really love the film. So it's been a huge success here in Norway. To be a documentary, it's been a really great success. And so it's still on cinema. But I really like to go out in nature. I remember when I lived in London 2 years ago, and we stayed in Richmond, but I had to commute it to Soho. And the stress on the tube in Oxford Street, and you had to, it's like, it's tough on you. It's like, especially if you're from, even Oslo is quite not stressful, we call it, quite quiet. So to have the opportunity to do both is really good for the inspiration, but also be in a city with all the vibe, go to theater, do the thing, meet people is also really inspiring. So you have to have both.
Well, speaking of inspiring, this the man that the film follows, upon first interactions, he seems, you know, he's a man from a small town.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't seem overly worldly, and he's kind of spinning these small, his lessons from life. And at first, I was like, I don't know about this. And by the end, I'm like, I want to be this guy. This guy's amazing.
Yeah.
he really, like, pulls you into his world. And what's great is I find, like, I also live in a city. I live in Toronto. that when I do get into nature, like when I'm in my daily life, I don't stop and look around enough. You know, you're just going, I got a place to be, I got to get there. Yeah. And this whole film is about a guy who is taking his time to get there and taking in the sights on the way. And he reminds you that the journey is as important as the destination, which is a simple thing that we all know, but we all ignore at the same time, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
It's really beautiful, the film.
You're always chasing everything else instead of going into actually who we are and what. So it's true.
So you mentioned that there is Foley done for this film.
Yeah, we did.
The walking sticks that he uses, was that Foley?
Yeah, at some place. What we did, he was Andreas, who was the record on set. That was an important thing that he recorded those sticks and recorded him as well. So lots of the Foley we have done is location Foley and actually from him. But there, we have, as you saw, it's like lots of drone shots. Then we couldn't have the recorder, so we had to do those things. Mostly we could use the location kind of Foley or of recording of him, but some places we really need to go in and do Foley, especially because you can see the film is like you have these big drone shots, big wide shots over the mountain, and there are some places they use helicopter as well. But then you go into the small details, and that's more what you have done in Foley to get all, as you said, all the small flashes, all the small details, all the small movement of animal. Of course, you can see some elk or moose that are walking, and you need to get connect to them. So it's more like to get connect into the nature and get connect with the animals and the people there. That's how we use the Foley.
So this film is broken up into different seasons. There's lots of ice in the film. And there's lots of ice sounds when we don't necessarily even see ice moving or anything, just the kind of the life of the ice. How did you go about getting those sounds and why did you decide to use them?
First thing, that's the idea of if you come, why I use them is the idea of from Margaret is that she want to make this film because you can definitely see that the nature are changing. It's the glacier or the ice is melting, but she didn't want to kind of push it or not. Just watching this film, you should just feel, okay, we need to take care of the nature. This is beautiful and this is a place that we should take care of. So she wanted to have this nature kind of own voice. So she wanted that the ice crackling or the ice or the glacier kind of said something or did something. Just at least was active. That there was something in movement. Even if we are living for 100 years, the nature is still, it's all constant in change. So that was her idea. And we, as same as we did with the photography, or the we had to put up cameras and we put up mics and just had them there for a couple of days. And then we got those sounds. Of course, we all have all those tricks to make them even better. And add some extra, but we try to kind of keep the feeling. And most of the sounds I made is from the directors telling me her experience of when she walks in the mountain. Like she really feels when they are, when the ice kind of, or this big like blocks of ice or snow falling down, it just feels like thundering. And for some place I wanted to be just the contrast to make it silent, but she wanted to have her experience as a young child of both scary, but also beautiful. And that's the thing within the nature there. It's so beautiful, but also quite dangerous. Is that the weather can change rapidly. And you can see the films, there are like a generation that just pass away because they are so tough just to live there.
Well, it's a super impressive film when I tell listeners that are listening right now that it's a film about a 84-year-old man,
yeah,
walking around in the nature in Norway.
Yeah.
People might not get the proper impression of the kind of film that it is. It's a beautiful film that brings you through all sorts of emotions. And when I say it's beautiful, I mean literally it's beautiful in the imagery, but it's beautiful in the themes and the emotions that it brings up in the viewer as well. And as I said, literally the film is named Songs of Earth because of the sounds that the Earth is making that you provided, and that made the film work. Without your sound, the film wouldn't work, period.
Oh, thank you.
So congratulations on the work, and I hope everyone listening makes an effort to see it when they get a chance to. It's a really cool sounding film as well as looking film. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.
My time spent in Norway was one of the best times of my life. I'm so jealous of Tormund for living there all year round. Songs of Earth is a beautiful film. It might be tricky to track down, but please make an effort to see it if you can. This episode was edited and mixed by Talissa Gracio. Talissa is a Brazilian sound editor and mixer who has worked on movies, video games, animation, and podcasts. She focuses on sound design, always with the intention and the final goal to make a project be remembered. She runs her own post-production company called Alumbra Audio. You can check out what she's been up to at alumbraaudio.com or on her Instagram at alumbra_audio. My name is Tim Muirhead, and I'm having a blast talking to people from all around the world about sound. Thanks for listening to Tonebenders. Talk to you soon.
Tonebenders is produced by Timothy Muirhead, Renee Coronado, and Teresa Morrow. Theme music is by Mark Strait. Send your emails to info@tonebenderspodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter via @TheTonebenders and join Tonebenders Podcast on Facebook. Support this podcast. You can use our links when you shop with Amazon or B&H, or leave us a tip. Just go to tonebenderspodcast.com and click the support button. Thanks for listening.
Are you looking for more audio-related podcasts to listen to? Tonebenders is part of the Audio Podcast Alliance, featuring a hand-picked selection of the very best podcasts about sound. Be sure to hear the latest episodes from our friends in the community at audiopodcast.org.